Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Welcome to church. Look at your neighbor left and right. Tell them, welcome to church. Good to see you. Please sit up in heavenly places. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Wow. Amen. Thank you, choir. So this morning, I'm going to bring God's word to us. Then as soon as I'm done, we will quickly get into the praise session towards the end of the service. Amen. And have a nice time because it is first Sunday. Amen. So we want to sing and praise and celebrate. At the 31st night, some people could not wait because they had to rush home. So we're going to give you a little bit of that this morning. Glory to God. So I started a line of thought and I started a teaching series this morning on the Holy Spirit and you. The person of the Holy Spirit and the believer. Oh, to mention, do you like our screen? Yeah, yeah. It's getting better. Amen. Yes, yes. God bless you all because we made it happen and we're still making things happen. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Yes, so the Holy Spirit and you. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit this morning. We want to get to know him. It is our year. Those of us who are now around 31st night probably traveled and you're just coming in. For us in this church, I don't know of many other people. God has given different words to different men of God, but I believe that he's working the same thing in his body somehow. God's word to us as a church is that it's our year of the Spirit. It's our year of the Holy Spirit. That's another way to put it, the year of the Holy Spirit or the year of the Spirit. There are times where we have the center of what God wants to do in church attached to one thing or the other. You know, sometimes probably God, for some people, it could be a year of abundance, it could be of increase, it could be of prosperity, it could be of, you know, perfection, different things. But, you know, this time around, God is saying to us, it is my year and I want to run things. Are we here together? Yes. And that's why the scripture he gave to me is from the book of Zechariah. And we have read Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. It says, it is not by power, nor by might, but by what? By my spirit, says the Lord. But by my what? Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. I started something at the 31st night. I will do a build up a little bit. And we will continue. Since it's a teaching series, so when I get to a particular point, I'll stop. Then we'll continue next week, Sunday. I would really love us to pay attention. You know why? I've always said it to us that whenever you come to church, you came to hear God. You came to encounter God. You came to allow the Holy Spirit speak to your heart, to give direction, transform your life, build you, strengthen you. Now, when people do not realize the reason why they come to church, they can easily be distracted. One thing or the other just comes up and you're already distracted. You know, somebody's chatting and you're replying. That's not what we do in church. When we understand the discipline of staying in God's presence, that's why some believers cannot pray up to 20 minutes. They get tired. They're distracted. All of a sudden, the devil is just saying, go and polish your shoe. Go and brush your teeth. And you brushed before. Why are you brushing again? Just because you want to pray. The devil reminds you, you've not washed your clothes. Start ironing your clothes. Then you now carry your iron. Lekoba, shakapa, 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 shakapa. Then before you know it, something goes bad. You forget the shakapa. Then you are out of the room. That prayer hour is gone. Every time the devil wants to rob you, he will distract you. There are times where you are busy doing something and you are praying. That's understandable. But there are times where you are dedicating a time for prayer. I want to pray. I want to see. If it's 20 minutes, you have made up your mind, stay there, don't move. And if you say you're going to pray for 20 minutes and you check the time and it looks like you have prayed for 2 hours but it's not yet 20 minutes, stay there. They that wait upon, it's a discipline. You're learning how to discipline yourself in God's presence so that you can get the best. Are we here together? Because sometimes some people plan to pray 1 hour. By the time it was 58 minutes, they left. And at the 59th minute, the voice of God will come. The direction will come. So if you have made up your mind that you will pray for 30 minutes, stay there. Don't do less. You can do more. More will not be too bad, but less will not be fine. Because in dealing with spirits, spirits don't understand the language of the carelessness and the excuses of men. Spirits are spirits. And that's why demon spirits also act in the same manner. They are spirits. They are consistent. That's why one spirit can monitor a family lineage for 1,000 years, 2,000 years, and will not move. Sometimes there's no priest on that altar pouring libation again, but the altar does not die. It hibernates. The spirit stays on hold, waiting for somebody else that will raise a voice there. And so you must understand the character of spirits. Thank God we're talking about the immortal Holy Spirit this year, so we'll be learning a lot of things about him. You need to understand the character of spirits. If you understand the character of spirits, you will understand better how to flow and function with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says God is a spirit. And it says they that worship him, they must have to worship him. Not on their own terms. Not the way you like it. It said they that worship must worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, he says the Father seeketh such. What's trying to say is that there are not so many. So he has to do a search of those who are willing to worship him in spirit and in truth. Because so many people are distracted. So many people get busy with many other things except the things of God. So you want to make up your mind this year and say to yourself, I'm going to get very serious with God. If I say I'm praying for social ministry, if I say I'm going to church, I'm not chatting with anybody. Let everything stay there. There's nothing you can do about anything if God does not help you. That the call came in doesn't mean you can do anything about it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep watch over the city, the watchman watches but in vain. So make up your mind to have that kind of relationship with God this year 2025, where you're not distracted in church. Don't get so busy trying to distract other people. When you are flying for 2 hours, you know, you are flying for 2 hours because you don't want to embarrass yourself and the people around you. Even when you feel pressed, you hold on. Those of you traveling to the east, 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours journey, even to Jebode here, the driver sometimes will not stop for 2 hours and you are going to hold whatever you will hold. But some people have to urinate in church service like 5 times. Now, if it's a health condition, it's fine. It's understandable. That's different. But if there's no health condition around that, sit down and just be disciplined. Stay there. Are we getting what I'm trying to say? It's just an act of discipline. It's like training your children, putting food in front of them, and they say, sit down there. Take this, don't take this. And the child begins to learn and understand better how to discipline himself or herself. So I think God, the Father of all spirits, will want us to learn this act better this year in Jesus' name. So let me pick up from there. Then I'll share a little bit about who the Holy Spirit is today. I'll continue next week. Zechariah chapter 4, let's start from verse 1. Zechariah chapter 4 from verse 1. Zechariah chapter 4 from verse 1. Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who is wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? So I said, I'm looking and there is a lampstand so of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, 7 lamps with 7 pipes to the 7 lamps. There's a connection, like all the lamps are connected. Then there is a bowl on top of it. Now this bowl that is on top of it is also being fed by the olive tree that you're going to see right now. So the olive tree supplies oil to the bowls, and the bowls will supply to the lampstand, and the lampstand will supply to the candle. So it keeps burning. Are we here together now? So it says the 2 olive trees are by it, and one on the right of the bowl and the other on his what? Left. Can you see that now? So I answered and I spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? And the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? Don't be embarrassed anytime you don't understand something. Ask God. Don't feel embarrassed. Ask him. That's why he's there. God didn't say to this man, since you don't know, you're a very foolish person. No, he will give you answers. And that's why he's God. He's all-knowing. Are we here together? So he asked him. He said, do you not know what these things are? And I said, no, my Lord. Answers the next thing. One of the things you will benefit this year, please take note of this, is let it be a year of consistent inquiry when you don't know what to do. The closest partner by your side to give you answers, the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue? If I pursue, will I overtake? Will I recover all? And God said, David, pursue, overtake, recover all. Another time, David will say, God, am I supposed to go? And God will give answers. There are times he said, God, should I go? And God said, don't go. If you go, you would have died. The reason some people died before their time, they went when God did not ask them to go. The reason some things happen to some people unexpectedly is that when they should have asked God questions to make decisions, financial decisions, career decisions, parenting decisions, business decisions, marital decisions, they weren't consistent, you know, in their inquiries. You need to follow up every single day. I guarantee you, God will not be tired if you ask him questions almost on everything. I don't mean asking him whether you should wear a red top or a blue, except you feel led to ask him. Maybe that day they are going to be attacking people on red and he says wear blue. And that's possible too. There are days you feel like wearing some of, ladies especially, feel like wearing some of those your title stuffs. And he knows that that day they will run around the market. Then you were going around your title and he said no title today. Trouser. Or wear that flare gown. You say why now? Why? But I like, is it bro? Yeah. Then you wore your title. Then when they started, and I'll be like, help me. Say, I told you. And that's how it works. He will tell you things to do. He will remind you of things. He will help you. He will guide you. When we get to that part this year, we'll be learning a lot about intimacy and hearing the voice of God. This year is another year I'm going to teach how to hear the voice of God. So this is a powerful series. I'll teach you this year again. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Please get the background so that you can understand why this is happening. You know, when this kind of revelations come, you want to understand why is he talking about a lampstand. Now, usually those days in the temple, they have lampstands. Now, the lamp is to ensure that in the inner court, you don't have darkness. So the assignment of the priest is to ensure that the fire will not go out on the altar. Sometimes you hear people say things like, don't let the fire go out on the altar. Don't let the fire go out. It's an Old Testament scripture where God said, I don't want you to always be out of light. I don't want my temple to be out of light. So what you do is this. The priests or the altar servants and other people around ensure that they keep a routine. So for 3 hours to 4 hours, you'll be here to watch. We have a target that this lamp is supposed to last for 5 hours. By the time it is the fourth hour, go there and ensure that the lamp does not go out. So what the priest does is that they will get oil. Different kinds of oil they use. They will get the oil as prescribed by God. Then they will put that oil, feed the source. When they feed the source, it will help the lamp so that the lamp will consistently keep what? Burning. Now, it is a very difficult task. The reason is because even if it is midnight, you have to stay awake. So even if it's 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 12, you have to be there. Somebody has to be at that service. Somebody has to be doing it to ensure that it will work. So God was giving him an illustration here, trying to show him something different. So God said to him, he said, look at what you're seeing now. Can you see any priest around it? No. What can you see? I see olive tree. Why is it an olive tree that is there? You know you can get oil from an olive tree. True or false? So God put the olive tree by the side, put the lampstand, and he did not put any human figure. That might just be to say to somebody that this year, it will not be the people you expect that will get you results. It will not be the men that you're anticipating. God by himself will strategically create a system around it so that life will become easier for you. Am I communicating to somebody here? So they looked at him and he was wondering, what exactly? So he said, I don't understand. And he said, can you see the lampstand? Yes. Of course, he must be used to the lampstand. Of course, he understands the how everything functions. But I'm not seeing any man to service it. So who's the person who will service this so that the light will not go out? And he said, look at the olive trees. The olive trees are there, symbolic of the fact that oil can be produced from the tree. So there is a connection of a pipe from the tree into the first bowl, on the other side into the second bowl. So permanently and consistently, oil keeps flowing into the bowl and giving light. There's no need for anybody. And he said, that is how your life will be, Zerubbabel. It will not be by power. It will not be by might. You will not need an external effort. You will not need an external impact. It will be by my spirit. And remember, he is the tree of life. By my spirit, I'll make it work. I'll make it work. It will not be the way you have been getting it before. I will go the extraordinary. I will do something beyond your expectation. Somebody under the sound of my voice this morning, I came to announce to you that 2025, God is going to do outstanding things. You will be looking for the man. Some of you, you will get a job. You'll be looking for the person that referred you. 10 years after, you will never know who referred you. And by the Spirit, God will work out your CV. By God will work out somebody to see your contact. Somebody will just send a mail and they will not know that what they forwarded from one company to another company was a mail you sent, and they have forwarded it to the place where you are needed, in the place where important matters have been discussed. In 2025, it will not be by your connection, it will not be by your power, it might not be by your link, but by the Spirit. Somebody shouted, by the Spirit. How did you get to know about my business? Oh, no. I was just moving around and something just said. They will say something just said. And you know, when people who are not born again say something just said, you know that is the Holy Spirit telling them to favor you. Are you getting what I'm saying right now? Yes, that's how it works. That is how it works. You see, I just had a feeling that you are the right person. I just had a feeling to do business with you. I just sensed in my heart to discuss this thing with you. And you're wondering, that discussion might be a discussion that can change the turn of things in your family forever. And sometimes you will look for those people again. In a lifetime, you will never see them. Angels will be appearing to people in 2025, and they'll be giving extraordinary manifestations. You'll be looking for them, say, ah, I saw the face. If I see the face, I will gain, I will remember. In your lifetime, you will not see the face again, because angels will visit people in form of human flesh, giving extraordinary results, transforming things in your life, in the name of Jesus. One of the things that God will do in this end time is to increase the miraculous effects, increase spectacular encounters, because the world is beginning to mock and beginning to say things that, is it really spectacular? Is there anything like that? Then God will show them that he is God all by himself. The people will be getting extraordinary results and they'll be wondering, how did it happen? But those of us who know our God, we shall be strong and we will do exploits. I came to tell somebody this morning, you are that person functioning under the influence of the Spirit. You are getting your results by the Spirit. You are running your family by the Spirit. You are running your career by the Spirit. Your business has entered a spirit mode in the name of Jesus. So he said to him, it is not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And Zerubbabel, who had been trying to achieve a particular feat, trying to get everybody to work, everybody to do this, he said, that will not be the way. I will make it easier. I will get it done in such a spectacular way that all eyes will see and they will know that there is God. Somebody this year, people will look at you and say, that your God, hold him very tight. You are not hearing what I'm saying. Somebody will look at you, people around you, your neighbors, your family members, the people who have mocked you before, or people who have been wondering and asking, what will happen in her life, in his life, will it ever change? They will look at you again and they will say, whatever it is you held on to in 2025, as you are entering 2026, you better go back and look for that thing, for the name of the Lord will be a strong tower. The righteous will run into it and they will be saved, in the name of Jesus. The second scripture God gave to me after I got the word that was going to be our year of spirit is this. Until the Spirit be poured out from on high, the wilderness now becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field will be counted for a forest. You know, this is an introductory service after the text message, so I'll just do a balance down. Isaiah, can you help us get it in Isaiah? My kovarandelebashkapaya. Somebody, you just realize, they'll say, ah, where's the pain? It is gone by the Spirit. Where's the lump? It is dried up by the Spirit. There's going to be so much of supernatural encounters. I said there will be so much of supernatural encounters in the mighty name of Jesus. even now under the sound of my voice, as I speak, if there are certain challenges, if there are certain things that has troubled your heart, and you have been contemplating and asking questions, is it really possible? Can it ever work? I came to announce to somebody as a prophet of the living God. He said, believe the Lord your God, you'll be established. Believe on his prophets, you will prosper. I came to speak as a prophetic voice over this house, and I declare what was hard, what was impossible, what was difficult, what looked so terrible, by the time you step out towards the end of this year, month January, you'll be seeing a turnaround. You'll be seeing a turnaround. You'll be seeing a turnaround in the name of Jesus. These are some of the things that God will be doing this year, so prepare yourself. Are we here together? So many things will be discussed under the subject, you know, of the Holy Spirit. So many things will be discussed. Isaiah chapter 32 verse 15. Please put it for me. Isaiah chapter 32 verse 15. Everybody, let's read it together. I want to go. Hold on now. Until. The word until means what? When you say until, exactly, unless this particular thing happens. If this thing does not happen, the next move will not happen. Are we getting what I'm saying now? So when you say until she comes, that means if she has not yet come, don't take any action. Are you getting what I'm saying now? That's why Jesus said to his apostles, disciples, on the day of Pentecost, he said to them, go and tarry, guys, in the upper room. How? He said the same word, until you are endued with power from on high. In other words, there's no supernatural function. You cannot perform beyond normal. See, addition is natural to the human life. Addition, that something is added. Something is added. But when it is multiplication, it's extraordinary. When your result is added, you can calculate it. People can explain it. But when it becomes exponential, the people will begin to wonder, wait, but based on normal parameters, this thing cannot happen. And that's when you now let them know, I myself have considered it, and I know that this can only be God. Is anybody getting what I'm saying today? Are you sure you're getting what I'm saying? When you beat your record, you set your goals, and God hits your goals times 10, times 20, then you sit down and you are crying, and some kind of, you know, muko point from your nose. I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. That's the level. Tears of joy. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here this morning? He says, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high. What do we need? We need a forest. A forest is a place, you know, when you see a wilderness, it is totally dry. Is that not? Nothing really can come out of a wilderness. A wilderness means that this particular thing, nothing spectacular can come out of it. Everything is dry. You can't plant in a wilderness. The scorching heat of the sun in the wilderness. Nothing really happens in the wilderness. And that's why when people go through trying times in their life, sometimes they say the man is going through a wilderness experience. And what God is about to do this year is that those who consider their experience as a wilderness experience, get ready, because it's going to be turned around this year. Oh, I can hear you. I say it's going to be turned around this year. Now, he says, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field. In other words, there will be a progression of the change. People will see it. Have you heard when the Bible says that? He said, behold, I will do a new thing. He said, can you not see it? You know, there's a way God speaks. You will know that, man, this is serious. He said, can you not see it? I will make a way even in the wilderness. Are you getting what I'm saying here right now? So look at what he's saying here. He's saying that at a particular point, the wilderness will turn toward a fruitful field. But you see, a fruitful field is not enough, because what you actually need is a forest experience. That means everything is so massive, gigantic trees, and the grass is there, everything green, beautiful. Just imagine that you have a 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 acres of palm trees or olive oil trees. You know what that means? God is saying, I'm going to do it in such a way that the business that looks like a wilderness, it will move from wilderness to fruitful field. If your faith can carry it, it will move to a forest dimension. And you know, there are different levels. There are different kinds of forests. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here now? There are different kinds. There's a kind of forest that you look at, and you can, there's a forest you will look at. I mean, those days when we're traveling, I can't forget, when we're traveling to the east, I usually think that the whole world is a forest. Because you're just traveling and you're just seeing green. And I'm like, what? Do human beings, not stay anywhere around here. And you keep going, you just see green, 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 green. You now get to a place, it's open. Then you move again, you see another place, green, green, green. I say, what is this? That is how people be trying to look. They'll be trying to calculate. They'll be trying to monitor. But they'll get to a point. They'll say, see, just leave that guy's life. If you stay on that guy's matter, your own time will go. Anybody that is trying to monitor your affairs, they'll be so busy, they will lose track of their own destiny. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Because the Spirit of God is about to shift things in our lives. It's about to shift things in our career. It will affect every facet of our lives in the name of Jesus. So tell your neighbor, get ready. So let's move a little bit, because the second part of what I discussed at the 30th verse 9, I'll talk about it when I start teaching on the intimacy. But today I want to help us a little bit know in a few minutes about who the Holy Spirit is. We've been saying Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. So some people who come to church, they don't really know who the Holy Spirit is. And some of us know. And the church has always been under attack. Heretic teachings, false teachings, controversies. And in this end time, one of the things that will increase will also be false teachings and false prophets. And it has always been, but the Bible says there will be increase. There will be increase of all that. Now, many of us in church, if you do not know so much in this end time. Now, thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit said this to me this morning. I heard it. That the unbelievers of the 24th century will not be those who do not know Jesus. It will be those who came to know Jesus, but were not disciplined enough to really pay attention to knowing him. They got tired and went back. You don't understand what I'm saying? The unbelievers, those that will be arguing Christianity and fighting Christianity, will be those who came. Some of them, because they were not connected to good teaching priests, so they weren't getting light. They got discouraged. There's some people, they were supposed to be taught, but they were so much in a hurry and they didn't pay attention. He said those ones will be the unbelievers of the 24th century. Because the message of the gospel will spread across the world before the coming of Christ. Is that not? There's some people will still be unbelievers. Why are they unbelievers? They have encountered church. They have met some people. But some of them were still fraternizing around those who do not have understanding of the doctrinal themes of scripture. And some of them probably had connection with these people, but they were not paying attention. And that's why the Bible says that you should give due diligence. It says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Church, listen to me. It's not a dispensation for lazy believers. It's not a dispensation for careless Christians. When you say you're coming to church, you know you are coming with your writing materials. You are coming to download knowledge. You are coming to get light. That's what you must prepare for. Because the Bible says wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of our times. On social media again, they will flood some errors that even you that have been going to church for 10 years, if you not care, it's not thinking, you'll be deceived. You will need to have known your God very well to be able to say, I've seen that thing before. Oh, we discussed that thing in church before. No, I can't be moved by that. Because the sound, you know, there are some of these historians over time, this doctrine of the Trinity is called pneumatology. You know, doctrine of the Holy Spirit, you know, and I'm going to be teaching this season. There's been controversies around it. People have given different ideas of who the Holy Spirit is, of who Jesus is. And the church over the years have been able to counter some of these thoughts and trash many of them. But we are in a dispensation where people are recycling knowledge. So some people are going back to pick what has been trashed. And that's what they are establishing as a doctrine now. And those who do not know anything will buy into it. In fact, a good number will buy into it. But the good thing about heresy is that every time a heretic message begins to spread, it drives those of us who have a calling to teach to go back to our drawing board and put forth the truth and the light of God's word so that the saints will be established. That's what's happening. So when you see a lot of things going on everywhere, this one is fine. They say this person says, hey, that pastor, that one is countering that one. Don't worry. God is watching and purging his church. Don't be deceived. It cannot get to a point where God cannot control things. If he gets to a point where a particular person is raising something he cannot do, he will take you out of the scene. Who are you? Who are you? If you will destroy the whole thing, thank you. Everybody, even the one that is a heretic, will work together for his good. Everybody works according to the good counsel of his will. Because he is God and his will be established. If some heretic and false teachers don't rise, some people in church will continue with this generation of just take. They will be so useless to the kingdom of God. But God wants to raise an army of those that can be useful to him. So he will cause some. What happened in the land of Egypt? It was the pressure of the Egyptians that made the Israelites get tired. And they said, ah, this is too much. Then God said, I have heard your cry by the reason of the hands of your tax masters. It is because God is seeing that many erroneous teachings will be coming left and right. Then he's raising teaching priests. Teaching priests. The argument will be happening left and right like this. Then all of a sudden you'll be seeing lies fade. Then light will begin to shine. That's the dispensation that we are in. Does anybody understand what I'm saying here? And I want to charge every one of us, especially everyone that you know that God has given you mandate that you are going to marry, or you are married already and you have children that are young in this generation, you better pay your attention, or else your children will ask you questions. If you cannot answer it, you're just surprised that your child is now Guru Maharaj worshiper, and he will be able to defend that one more because you didn't say anything. You're asking you questions, you cannot say anything. Is that, I don't know. You'll be there. The person will just wake up one morning and say, I've decided my own religion. My religion is stone worship. You say, why? Is it because you can't defend? Can you see your God? You say, you cannot see God. I can't see my own God too. Explain why your own God cannot be said. You cannot explain it. The child will say, Mom, don't worry. I want to worship rats. That's the dispensation we're in. So everybody has to be awake. There's nobody that's going to sit in one corner and say, it's not my business. You just discover that all the things you have built in your life, one person will just learn one doctrine from nowhere and will destroy everything. So we must come to the place where we understand that knowledge is very essential. The reason people are being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine is because true knowledge is not being taught. Many churches are bankrupt. They just want to make a declaration over people and everybody will just say amen, amen, and they will go. The whistle has been blown. Just know it, that the whistle has been blown and those days are over. Light has to shine. You see some people come out on the television and you're wondering whether they are preaching or they are doing comedy or whatever I'm saying. Somebody's just talking plenty of things and you listen for 5 minutes, you can't pick one sensible thing. One like this. There's a problem. But that's not the generation that we're in. It shows you that some people will fade. A light will come and darkness will be dispelled. Are we here together? So the Holy Spirit in 5 minutes or thereabout, then I'll wrap up. Next week I'll continue. I believe I've laid the foundation already. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the most misunderstood person of the Godhead. And I will explain why I'm saying that to you. Among Christians and even non-Christians alike, people understand the reality of God. They can still understand Jesus because Jesus was a real person that came to this world to live and, you know, moved around in history. People understand. The Jews still know that there was a young guy that was born Jesus. Everybody understands. In fact, some religions even buy to the idea because they know. Many of the religions in the world agree that there's a person called Jesus, that he's a prophet. Some of them agree that there's Jesus and he's a messenger. And one thing or the other, they believe he was a good man. Some people didn't say he's a prophet or whatever. They believe that he was a good man. He thought good things and he lived a good life. Like one of the things Mahatma Gandhi said, one of the Indian political revolutionaries or whatever, activists or whatever, he was able to help India come out of their, you know, season of terrible oppression by their slave and tax masters. Mahatma Gandhi said, I love your Christ, but not you Christians, for you Christians are not like your Christ. In other words, he studied Jesus very well and he saw the exemplary life of Jesus, and he said he loved the teachings of Jesus, and he lived with a Christian family and would have become a Christian, but the Christianity they profess did not reflect in their character. So he held on to Hinduism and he died a Hindu. So that if my light would have been what would give another person light, and they stay with you in your business environment, they stay with you in the same compound, they stay with you every time, and yet our light could not do anything, something would be wrong. So we have to keep shining our light as much as we can, even though it's not in our power. But Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and they will glorify your Father that is in heaven. So this Holy Spirit we're talking about today, a lot of people are not aware of him. They don't know him so much, and as such, they are confused about his person. Many people are saying all manner of things about him. So for us, who is the Holy Spirit? Genesis chapter 1, I'll start from there. Genesis chapter 1, let's make moves this morning. From verse 1, Genesis chapter 1, I'll read Genesis chapter 1, I'll read John chapter 1, and you see it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Take note, God created the heaven and the earth. So we can see God, is that not? Then verse 2, the Bible says, and the earth was without form, and it was what? Void. And what? Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And what? Look at the word. Look at spirit and God together, very close to themselves. Then he says that one is called spirit of God. That God we saw in Genesis chapter 1, he has spirit. And he is a spirit. And he has spirit. Bible says in John, God is a spirit. Now there's another being that's being represented here, and that one is called the Spirit of God. That means God is a spirit. God is a spirit, the Godhead. But there is an integral as part of God's being, or a person within God, that is also called Spirit of God. Are we here together now? He said that spirit was hovering upon the face of the waters. Then look at what it says in verse 3. God said. In other words, there are two different people. Number one is God who came up in the scene. Are we here together? Then number two is the Spirit of God that was going around the waters. That Spirit of God going around the waters is a spirit. God himself is what? A spirit. But this spirit that is called God has a voice. True or false? And what we were hearing from this spirit that is called God is called what? The Word of God. True or false? Are you getting what I'm saying here? So anytime you speak as a human being like this, we hear your voice. Is that not? Now, even if you are not physically represented and you are on phone and somebody is speaking via the phone, sometimes you know the voice of the person. Is that not? So the person is not visible, but that is the person's voice. True or false? Very good. Just listen attentively. We're going somewhere. It says, then God said. That means God spoke words. That means there is something called the Word of God. Church, are we here together? It must not be complex. The idea about biblical teaching is that it's not to make it complex, to make it very simple. So, Jesus met a particular man, and the man said to Jesus, they said, oh, this man is a good man. He has built us a church. So Jesus could go to his house and pray for his child. And Jesus was really willing to go. So while Jesus was going, he sent one of his military officers. And he said, stop there. Go and meet Jesus and tell him that he shouldn't come to my house. Not my house. I'm not that kind of person. You know, I know that I've given some things, but no. He's such, I see him as a mighty man. I don't think he should come. I've seen the things he does. I see how he talks to demons and they listen. Tell him to only speak the word and my servant will be fine. How? He said, I'm a man under authority. If I stay here and I tell one particular person now, go and tell somebody at the battlefield that everybody should stop now, they will listen. I believe that the way he's talking to spirits, he's the father of spirits. So let him talk. My servant, wherever he is, he'll be fine. And that's why Jesus said, I've never seen any faith like this. Because the man was revealing something very deep. The people did not understand, but Jesus understood. So Jesus said, wow, seriously? And he spoke. And guess what? When the servant got back home, he asked, he said, at what time exactly did he begin to recuperate? So that we can compare the word that he spoke and the time that this healing started. And they told him the exact time. He said, that was the exact time the man said it. In other words, the word of that man is so potent that at the point he said it, distance was not a barrier. It started happening. And that's why when God came in Genesis chapter 1 and he said, light be. It did not take 1 million years. It did not take 2 days. It did not take 3 days. As soon as he said, light be, light came out of darkness. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? I'm laying the foundation so that you can understand the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and God. Because this understanding is needed now. Because we're coming into the evil days. Evil days where darkness will try as much as it can to becloud the mind of people so that they will not know the truth. But God has said it in his word that they that know their God shall be strong and they will do exploits. And he said, but it is by knowledge that we will prevail. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is that he teaches us the deep things of God. I'm excited for this year. Glory to God. So you see, God came down to the scene there and he showed up as a spirit. Then as a spirit showing up there, he looked at the situation of things. And the Bible exclaimed that the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Then the Spirit of God, that's another separate person, do we all agree now, was moving around the face of the waters. And God said. Now, I'm trying to introduce the Word of God to you. So that when we read John chapter 1, you will understand when it's laying the foundation there. So God said, light be. So there's been something or somebody else called the Word of God, but that person in this context is the active one, you know, being spoken forth. Then the Holy Spirit is carrying out the assignment. Then go to John chapter 1 now. John chapter 1 verse 1. John chapter 1 verse 1. John chapter 1. In the beginning, we're back to the beginning, is that not? In the beginning was what? Word is word, is that not?
That means that day God showed up and he was looking at everything. Something was with him that he was going to walk with. What did God walk with when he came to the face of the earth? What did he walk with? Words, is that not? So the Bible is saying here now, in the beginning was the word. And look at the writers and the translators are careful enough not to use small letter to show you that this word is not standing like every other one. Are we here together now? In the beginning was the word, the word, and the word was with God. My word is with me everywhere I move, is that not? My word is with me. Sometimes you say my word is my bond. Have you heard people say things like that? They say stand by your word. So my word is here, stand by your word. So my word can be standing and I'm standing by my word. Are we here together, church? So he says here, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. This is the one that blows the mind of everybody. In fact, all Bible historians and teachers and philosophers, when they get to this point, they wish that this part was not added. They would have said that, okay, something can be with somebody, but this one changed everything. He said, and the word was God. The next verse now balances things up. It says, he was in the beginning with God. He didn't say it was. He. So that word is a living being. Have you forgotten Genesis when God came to meet Adam and Adam had sinned against God? He said, I heard your voice walking. Are you here with me? He didn't say, I heard your voice. Have you heard voice walking before? Does voice walk? The only voice that can walk is a living voice. It's a voice that is a person. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So he said, in the beginning, I heard your voice walking in the midst of the garden, and I went to hide myself. So every time God shows up in the Garden of Eden, because he is a spirit, Adam does not see him physically. What Adam hears to know that God is around inside is the sound. So we hear boom, boom, boom. That word was eventually made flesh. I hope I'm not going to do. I've always tried to step down everything on Sundays, but these times when you come to church on Sunday, get ready. I do a lot of teachings, midweek services, but on Sundays I try to. But you have to know it, because I'm troubled that some of your colleagues can drag you away. I'm very sorry. I say, well, he doesn't come to church again. I say, why? He say he does not believe in God again. Ah, God forbid. It will never be your story, because knowledge is very important. Are we here together now? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Look at what he says now. He said the same, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. His word we're talking about. And without him was nothing made that was made. And in him was life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the word, life. And the life was the light of men. It is the light that shines in darkness, and darkness cannot comprehend it. Go to verse 9. Go to verse 9 so that we can lay foundation there because of time. He said, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Go ahead now. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. We are back to Genesis, is that not? And the world did not know him. When Jesus was walking around town in the whole world, they were asking, who are you? He even asked them, said, who do men say that I am? The word was walking just as he walked in the Garden of Eden. But now the word has been made flesh. The word took on a human body. The word allowed itself to stay in the womb of a woman. Came out as a baby. And he walked around the world that he created. And the world did not know him. And he said something about them. Go ahead now, verse 11. Verse 11. He said, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. The Jews now. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So word has turned to his name. He started with word. He ended up as what? His name. And the only name that we know that is above every other name is the name Jesus. Is anybody getting this revelation? Is it becoming clear to you now? So when we look at that, you get to understand that in the book of Genesis and John here, there is an introduction of God, the one that we call the Father. There is an introduction of his word, the one that we call the Son. And there is an introduction of the Spirit, that Spirit of God. It's the Spirit that makes the Godhead the Godhead. So that in scriptures, not just in New Testament, even in Old Testament, you begin to see how the scripture began to distinguish God from Jesus, the Father, separate like that. Are we here together? From the Old Testament, God said to the children of Israel, he said, I will send my angel before you. This one that I am sending before you is called my Holy Spirit. The word angel means he's my messenger. He delivers my counsel. That's the Holy Spirit. He's the messenger of the covenant. Are we here together? That's why he's the one that seals us in the new covenant. God thought about salvation. Jesus brought salvation. The Holy Spirit seals salvation. Are we getting what I'm saying here right now? The earlier you get to know this, the better you will know this person. So that when you are going every day, and like I showed you at the 31st night, that somebody is walking with you, you will know that it is possible. If the word could walk in the garden, you don't see the word, somebody is walking with you, you may not see him. Am I communicating? Are you getting the gist? So the Holy Spirit is called the third person of the Godhead. Third person of the Godhead. The third person of the Godhead. Now give that diagram and I'll close on this note today so that we can continue next week. Just a little here, a little there. We'll begin to get it. Have you gotten what I said today? Can you see the screen? Oh, you have to see it. You must be able to see this one. Are we seeing it? Are we seeing it? There's a doctrine that says that Jesus is the Father, Son, and the Spirit. That doctrine is wrong because Jesus is not the Father. Jesus cannot be the Father, the Son, and the Spirit at the same time. So that's a wrong doctrine. There's another one that says God the Father created God the Son. But from what we said, he said I was in the beginning with him. He didn't say I was created. The only place he said that wisdom was created from the beginning, the word created there is not the same Hebrew word that is used for creation, bara. That is, the word here now is different. It means to acquire something. In other words, he used me at the beginning. Wisdom was used at the beginning. Are we getting what I'm trying to say here now? Is it making any sense to you, church? So you see now, it is not possible to have God the Father created the Son and now to use the Holy Spirit as a force. The Holy Spirit is not just a force. There are some religions and doctrines that believe that the Holy Spirit is just a force. He just moves things, or the Holy Spirit is just a fire or just a dove. He can work as fire. He can work on a handkerchief. He can work on anything because he is the impact. Anything he touches, he makes impact on it. He can make impact on my suit and I give it to somebody, and whatever result the person has faith for, he can work with that. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Because he is essentially a being that does not show his physical form. So the day Jesus Christ came to the face of the earth and he was walking around, he said, it is necessary that I should go. If I don't go, I will not send you another comforter. The word another comforter means allos paracletus. That means a comforter of the same kind. That means we are from the same essence, but our operations are different. Oh, do you understand what I'm saying now? Is anybody getting what I'm saying right now? You might sit down now and say, this thing pastor is teaching today is too deep. You better wake up this year to get it. Better wake up, because I can guarantee you, one of the strategies we do, the devil will get people out of the church. The unbelievers of the 21st century will not be those who have not heard of Jesus. There will be those who heard of Jesus, but they were either too lazy to press into the knowledge of him, or they got confused by false teachers that did not teach anything correct, and they draw back. So when they say we are unbelievers, they will not be going to the bush to look for missionaries. They will be in your compound everywhere. And this one is already telling you in your compound, now, I don't believe in any God anymore. I'm a secular humanist. I just believe that everything is God. Human beings are their God. Everything was around. Then another one will show another video. When you watch it, some of you stay on those things from morning, 4 hours, 3 hours, watching different people and hearing all the things they say. The time you should have spent in the Word of God to know God more, you are being confused by somebody who is very confused. May that not be our portion in the name of Jesus. So look at it now. This is God. Can you get it? Somebody say God. Holy Spirit is God. The Father is God. The Son is God. That means there is one essence that all of these three persons or these three personas have their being from. So essentially, everything this one has, the capacity and the component, whatever makes this one also is inside here. So this one is eternal, this one is eternal, this one is eternal, because eternal life is here. This one is all-knowing, is that not?
this one is all knowing, this one is all knowing, this one is all knowing. When this one came in the flesh, because he was 100% man, 100% God, he did not assume the position of all knowing. He had humbled himself already. So that's why he said, I don't know the day or the time he will come. It's in the Father's command. In other words, he's saying it is in the command of the source. He's still pushing it here. That in our source, we know the day and the time. As a person here now, I will not discuss that with you. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here now? Are you sure you get what I'm saying now? So, in essence, whatever is inside God is inside the Spirit, is inside the Father, is inside the Son. But because they have different roles and different functions, for the sake of the humanity, especially in expressing themselves to man, one has to be the one who is thinking of salvation. Because our connection with God, really, after creation, the next thing is how he's buying us back, how he's saving us from our flaws and our mistakes. Is that not? So this one now, on this side, Jesus is not the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, I will go to the Father. When I go to the Father, we will decide and send you the Holy Spirit. Am I making sense? Is it coming to you now? That's why the Holy Spirit in his operation does not do anything except that it is glorifying the Son. Everything it does is to glorify the Son. And that's why Paul was teaching one day and he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Can you see it right now? The day Jesus Christ was being buried in water and he was coming out, Jesus Christ was in water being baptized, and he said, we heard a voice from heaven, the voice of the Almighty God, is that not? And he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Then the next thing, the Spirit of God descended upon him as a dove, in a bodily form like a dove. Can you see the three operations now? Is it making any sense to you now? What this one does, it's not what this one does. What this one does is not what this one does. This one is an eternal spirit that will not show him, that has never shown himself in any human form. The fullness of the Father and the Spirit lives inside Jesus. God has a face, and the face of God and the person of God is called who? Jesus. And that's why the argument of whether Jesus is God must be trashed out, because Jesus is actually God. And that's why when we're teaching during Christmas, we said that God has come to us. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Is anybody getting what I'm saying today? Because the person you are working with today, so when we say the Holy Ghost is with you, sir, when you are going out on the street, you know that it is God that is by your side. You know that if God is for me, who can be against me? You know that there's an authority backing you. You know that there's a force backing you. You know that no weapon formed against you can prosper. When you are moving out, the whole of heaven is backing you up. The whole of creation stands by your side. Any devil that comes around you, he said, I am with you like a mighty, terrible one. I came to announce to somebody, now that you are knowing God better, you will see him better, you will see his result better, you will see his hand better, you will see his miracles better, in the name of Jesus. Rise up on your feet. We'll stop here. We'll continue next time. You are here, you are here. Holy Ghost, I'm so glad you are here. You are here, you are here. God, Holy Ghost, I'm so glad you are here. Listen, when you go out this year, your understanding has to change. Don't go out like a mediocre. Don't go out like a failure. You know why? When we say it is not by power nor by might, but by the Spirit, we are saying that the very essence of God is backing you up. Yeah. We are saying that the God that created the universe, the Bible says God said light be. The spirit that was hovering to ensure light came out of darkness is the one following you. So that every darkness around your business, around your health, around your marriage, around your career, this is our year of the spirit, and everything is turning around, everything is shifting, everything is changing, everything is moving. I came to announce to somebody, it's a new season, it's a new dawn, and I declare the Holy Ghost is taking over the affairs of your life, it's taking over the affairs of your career, it's taking over the affairs of your business, everything that concerns you, in the name of Jesus, it is not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. This year is your invisible partner. Invisible what? Partner. Invisible what? Partner. When you are moving, he's moving with you. When you are making decisions, he's joining in the decision. And that's why any decision you are making this year, you must be able to say, Holy Ghost, I'm about to take these steps. How do you feel about it? What do you think? Is it part of your eternal counsel and plan for my life? When he gives you a signal, you move. When he begins to nudge your heart and you lose your peace, you stay back. Why? Because when he makes you to lose your peace, there might be a danger ahead that you are not seeing. But because he's spirit and he has seen the end from the beginning, he's directing your life according to the counsel of his will. I came to announce to somebody, you will not neglect the voice of the Holy Ghost. You will not neglect the direction of the Holy Ghost. You will not neglect the leading of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, every financial mistake, career mistake, business mistake, health errors. There are some people, they made terrible mistakes. They met the wrong, maybe not wrong, but maybe the person they met was not the just right person. I went some time ago to pray for a particular woman in the hospital. When we got there, we realized that the last doctor that operated on the woman did something that she was supposed to report and tell any other person that we have the history of that woman. But he did not do that. So the woman got pregnant. And when she got pregnant, in the midst of everything, there were serious complications and she died. Only for this doctor to get in and say, we saw the history, but we did not see this note that societal thing like this has been done. If we know it has been done, there's no way we would have tampered it like this. As a result of that, that's why this woman died. That's why the woman died. So human errors. Then you find yourself in a situation like that and you're a child of God. And the doctor is trying everything and he will lose his peace. He won't know why he cannot do anything until he has to ask some questions that will give directions. Because even if man has not put it, the spirit knows all things. And even if the doctor is not a born again, the spirit can cause him to lose his peace until he begins to research. And by the time he begins to search, he begins to find answer. I came to announce to somebody, even pagans and unbelievers, those who do not know this your God, for the work that God wants to do in your life, he will manipulate things, he will control things, he will redirect things into your own favor in the name of Jesus. No one will be disadvantaged this year. No one will suffer loss this year. Most importantly, we will grow in the knowledge of him. We will grow in the knowledge of him. We will come to spiritual maturity, the fullness and the stature of God. Nobody in this church will be comfortable with the casual, ordinary, dry life. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice that the original you that God has ordained from the foundation of the world, 2025, the glorious you, the magnificent you, the blessed you, the extraordinary you, by the Spirit will emerge in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit of the living God. We worship you, Father. Lift up your voice and give him thanks this morning for the word. Give him thanks for the revelation of the word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center. And visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.